Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Spokespeople Podcast. I'm your host, Dave, with our co-host.
Also Dave.
There you have two Daves, no waiting.
Two Daves. 24/7.
24/7. Imagine that. I mean, seriously. Like, if my wife didn't have enough
There's
reasons to
drink.
There's
two people on planet Earth that can stand us that much.
Yeah.
And we're not even around all day for them, so.
That's true, man. So as you recall, this is, episode number 27.
Episode 27.
And in the last episode.
We're street legal plus six.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We're actually getting out of the draft.
Oh, yeah. We're not even draft eligible anymore because that's 26.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right. We had Ken here last time. We had the ladies from Wimba. I don't know if you got to hear that episode at all.
Oh, man.
It's a great group of women that have formed a community to kind of encourage more women to ride. Sounds like a great group. They're doing some
Who's
great
in
stuff.
That?
Okay. I guess you're going to have to go back and listen to the episode yourself there.
Don't make me listen to this program.
Okay. You don't like listening to your own voice, do you?
I hate it. It's ridiculous.
You know, it is weird.
Every time I hear my voice, I'm like, why do people talk to me?
Every time I hear your voice, I think the same thing.
I know.
I really do. It's like, why do we even let him in this building?
This guy. Just put him in the back.
Your voice isn't even on episode 26.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so you can listen to that episode.
I could.
You should.
In theory.
You should.
I should.
You should. So we got a couple things to talk about today. It's we're into July. We're in the cycling season.
We're into the hot months, man.
Yeah.
We're hitting it.
But a couple neat announcements, in my opinion. I don't know if you'll think they're neat. I think they're neat. We have Omaha Velo, which is a team in town that we sponsor here at the Bikeway. Great group of people.
Yep.
And you guys have taken over the Tuesday Night Worlds at Baxter Arena Crew.
Yeah. We are the promoters of that now. And we did that recently on Tuesday. And that went off really well. All the guys pitched in and helped out. We got the course put up and cleaned up and all the tents and the people showed up. And we didn't have as great of a turnout as I would have liked, but we did kind of have short notice. Mark Sullivan had promoted that for, I think, 6 years. Before that, Jonathan Waite, the Bikeway's own Jonathan Waite, he started out that Criterium Series at Papio La Vista South High School.
Okay.
I guess about 10 or 12 years ago, you know, and there's a back road that connected all the parking lots that went behind the school. A lot of schools, they don't have a road that goes all the way around, but this one did. And so we used that for a while until they kind of got tired of us being there, I guess. And then Johnny moved it over to Baxter Arena, lot 26, right next to the bike trail. And he did that for another year, and then he asked Mark if he wanted to take it over. Mark said he would, and I helped Mark from day one, and his team did too. And we're all pretty much buddies and friends, all the guys on their team, which is a Chaos Cycling.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so so now we're taking it over. Omaha Velo's taking it over. Brad Oldfield and I are kind of spearheading it. The team is kicking in and helping set up, clean up, and things like that. We actually had a lot of help from the Nebraska Medicine team. There's a guy, he's a photographer. I think his name's Joe. Gosh, I'm so bad with names. Anyway, he helped us out a lot. And so, yeah, it takes a village, and we got it together. And we don't have one next week. The next race is on the 22nd of June.
Okay.
And then we'll have 5 dates this year. We were supposed to have 6, but...
Maybe we should take the podcast mobile and go out there and do
Bring
that.
Bring the beast out there, man. Bring the beast out there. Or I can, you know, maybe I can go get the beast and drive it and get all the stuff and take it out there. And then we can do the podcast. It'd be fun.
Yeah, and which is cool because we just finally got that whole generator system fixed and working again. Because remember,
you got the generator fixed on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it have external power?
It does now, yeah.
Okay.
That was the problem. That's why when we were having issues with it and we took it out to.
Okay. Maybe we could use that for power. That'd be sweet.
We took them out to the gravel race, the Louisville gravel race.
Yeah.
Remember, we still had to run an extension cord.
Right.
Well, but we don't have to do that anymore.
That we use Mark's generator for that day. And then it's been here at the shop, so that's the one we used. But if we can use that one, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Bring the beast out there. Maybe get the party platform set up.
We've been talking about doing a live one. We can
set the party platform up, man. It'd be tight.
With party subs.
Huh?
With party subs. I like to eat when I do that.
Party subs?
Yeah, get like those party subs, you know, like for like Jimmy John's.
Okay, cool.
Get a bunch of those. We eat, drink, be happy.
Yeah.
Right? It went pretty well. Was he riding now as opposed to where he used to run it? But
Yeah, Mark is not in a position right now to race. He hasn't. Last couple of years at work have been really tough. He's been kind of tasked in a lot more. They don't really. He works for AT&T.
Okay.
And basically, they used to have an office of 12 to 15 guys, and now it's down to like six. And anyway, he keeps telling everybody he's going to retire next year, and then he's going to get back into shape. So. That's his long-term master plan.
Well, Mark, if you happen to hear this episode, for everything that you've done,
we really
appreciate it.
It's Mark and his team, and you know, anybody that comes to those races and races and signs on the dotted line and pays your entry fee, those are the guys I want to thank and gals too, because if the racers don't show up, there's no point in it, you know, and. We're doing this so we can have bike races. So
right. Well, to all to Mark up. And to all the volunteers,
Jonathan Waite. He's the one who started. He got us kicked off. So kudos to Jonathan.
And we want to get John in here.
Yeah.
We want to get John here and talk with him.
Yeah. He won the expert race.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
We didn't have a huge turnout, but like it doesn't matter. John's a really fast guy. He's going to podium, no matter who else shows up, including the Brian Johnson and. Lee Baumgartner, like some pretty heavy hitters.
Right.
I mean, Baumgartner can put out some W's and, you know, Johnson's got a motor that just don't quit.
Okay.
You know, you got some other fast guys from Viking and, you know, we got some fast guys around here. We just need to get them all at the race on the same day.
Right.
And I tell you what, it can be pretty intimidating. Those guys will average. And we have a lot of corners in there. There's like three 180s and a bunch of corners. See, you could probably pedal about 85% of the time. The rest of the time you're turning. And those guys will average like 26 to 28 miles an hour for a 50-minute race. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And there's no straightaway longer than 100 yards.
Okay. So,
you know, you're turning a lot.
Well, to all the volunteers and to Mark,
yes.
we give this handy applause right now for you. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of kudos to those guys.
We have some volunteers, too, that help us with registration. Tara.
Okay.
The Bikeway's own Tara Singh and
Omaha
Velo Club member.
You know, I saw her in here yesterday.
Hey, man, I told her to come by, and I called her up, and I said, hey, you used to help. Can you? She goes, man, I would love to. I always had so much fun there. And we got two gals from the Bellevue Bike Club, I think Lisa and Heather.
Okay.
So I want to thank them, too. And yeah, it's just, like I said, it takes a village and yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah, I saw, she was in here yesterday. I was working at my desk, but I looked
Tara.
At her. Yeah, and she had her Bikeway jersey on and she was, I don't know if she had ridden into work or drove into the shop, but I think she rode her bike. So
it's amazing. She's kind of amazing because she'll be out there and it'll be like really hot and sweaty and stuff. She'll ride her bike and then she'll come in. Just look like a million bucks. Like she hasn't even been outside, you know.
Well, that's because she glistens.
She's
right.
She's a glistener.
She doesn't sweat. She glistens.
Nope, she glistens. That's a true statement.
She's been great to work with, and I know she's helped out in a lot of ways. And you know, that's the other thing is, I think the bike.
Well,
community,
you know, she's a hairdresser too, and
right?
So you can't be a hairdresser without being a people person.
True.
You know? And she's a great people person.
She is.
And she knows the industry and she knows the people because she's been doing the registrations for all the mountain bike events and these road events. So she knows everybody.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's the other thing, you know, maybe you can't ride this weekend or maybe you can't ride that time of the event because, you know, but maybe you can volunteer or help out.
Right.
And
maybe you don't want to race. I mean, it's not for everybody, man.
Right.
It's hard.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And it can be embarrassing when you get dropped and lapped, you know, because these are short laps. I mean,
right. We're
doing like a minute 45. You know, even in our race, in the sport race, we're doing like 26 mile an hour laps.
Right. And sometimes people just want to ride to ride, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And
racing isn't for everybody.
Exactly. So it's kind of whatever you want to do, whatever your fancy is. So
but you know what? It's super fun because you can bring a long chair, you sit there, have some barley pops or whatever you want. And watch everybody go around and cheer and ring a cowbell.
I have to be very careful about that, though.
Oh, I also want to thank our two USA Cycling officials, Matt Steele, the man of steel, good cross racer, great single speed rider, and Matt Besa, who is also a racer himself, a cyclist, USA Cycling racer.
So
and,
two Matts, no waiting.
Yeah,
either,
right. Two Matts, right?
Clearly no waiting with those guys because they
and Matt fly. Just went up to it's called Toad. It's Tour of America's Dairyland, and I think that's up in the Milwaukee area. And he was up there, and they did like a race every day for 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of hanging out and watching the race stuff like that. The only problem is my phobia that I have that can kick in pretty
hard.
Having
to use the porta potty?
No. I have cynosilicophobia.
I don't even. What is that? Was that something with hair follicles?
No, cynosilicophobia is it's an actual phobia, okay. But it's a fear of an empty beer glass.
Oh no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
we have two coolers.
I get very nervous about things. Just thinking about that kind of makes me a little on edge. But that is an actual phobia. So,
I'm sitting there. I'm talking to Ramsey. Like
I clearly have it
during the expert race. I'm like, dude, why didn't you race? You know, because he's been in that race with me and Eichler. Want to thank him too for coming out and help us set up the course. Eichler had to go, so he couldn't race. But Todd and Paul are usually in there anyway. Here's Todd. He's having a drink. And I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Hey, we got some. He goes, oh, I don't drink anymore. And I said, oh, okay. He goes, I don't drink any less either.
So are there any changes with the crit now with Velo taking over? I mean,
you know, it's kind of same. We're even borrowing Mark's stuff. I mean, it even looks the same.
Okay.
So yeah, just come on down, pay your $25 and race.
Cool.
Yeah.
$25.
You know, it is, and I wish we could charge less, but, you know, we're not...
I don't think that's much at all.
Well, $10 of that goes to USA Cycling for insurance and sign-up and stuff like that. The rest of it, you know, is operational costs. You know what? I'm totally forgetting our, you know, title sponsor, Arkfeld Wealth Strategies. They sponsored us this year, and without them, we wouldn't even have a payout. Which is going to be a series payout for the entire series. So we want to thank Arkfeld Wealth Strategies for that.
Okay. What about Baxter Arena?
Baxter Arena is just literally in the background. They're the ones that we... So
yeah, you got to go through them.
UNO runs Baxter Arena.
Right.
They have like a UNO/Baxter Arena staff. And we had to deal with them to actually rent the lot. We rented the lot. It cost us about $1.25 every time to rent the lot.
$1.25?
$125.
Oh, $125.
Yeah.
So not $1.25.
Not $1.25, but you know, $125. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
To rent a lot.
To rent an empty lot which would otherwise be unused. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. But thanks, Baxter Arena. You guys are great.
You know, I mean, the area over there with all the trails.
I'm kidding. They were actually a pleasure to work with, and they're very nice.
So, you know, they've got some new management over there at the UNO athletic department.
I think Mark's been dealing with these same people before. He said,
is they've got a new athletic director over there. He's been over there for a couple years now.
Well, I don't think he gets into the nuts and bolts of renting.
No, he doesn't, but he's done some great changes for that athletic.
Who are we talking about?
Adrian Dowell.
Oh, okay. When did he take over?
3 years ago. He took over for
I guess
Trev
I wasn't
Alberts.
Paying attention. Yeah, I know, because it used to be Alberts. Right. And he moved on up.
Adrian
right?
came in. He took over. He's a good dude.
What's he doing that's all great?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me. I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything.
I think the culture is completely different. I think he's developed a pretty good basketball program now. UNO was kind of sliding off.
You know,
the men's
I feel
soccer
bad.
Team
I've never
really
been to a
up.
Basketball game, and they're actually a decent team.
The hockey
team.
Game, the hockey teams are starting to kind of come back up to the to
you
presence.
Know what? They,
the softball
they,
game, the
UNO
volleyball
hockey
team.
Did really well. They went to, they didn't get into like the Frozen Four, but they did really well in the NCC tournament. So, and they, I think they beat UND one time this year on the road, even. So, you know,
You're looking at an athletic department like that that is not like Lincoln. You know, Lincoln is completely run off booster money. They're a separate entity from Lincoln. There's no tax dollar spent there. So they have to be very, very stringent. They don't, or Lincoln doesn't have to be. I mean, Lincoln actually gives $5 million to student, non-athletic student scholarships, $5 million a year. UNO doesn't have that budget. So he's got to be able to run this budget. He's got to be able to make them stretch the money as well. And the president, I believe her name is Dr. Liu or Lee, you know, she's absolutely brilliant woman. I was excited when they hired
What's
her.
What's her role?
She's the big kahuna man. Like, she literally put a
border. She's not the athletic director.
No. She's the in charge of the university.
Oh, the president of the university.
Yes.
Oh.
She put Florida International really Business University. Florida International Business University. She put them on the map as one of the top international.
Florida International?
Yep.
FIU?
I believe that is correct.
Okay.
She did an amazing job
I think, what's her mascot? The running scapegoats?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Could be.
I don't know either. Could be.
Yeah, but she's brilliant. She's done a great job. And I think they've really done some good things. So I expect to see some more development down the backstreet. They got the softball and baseball diamonds down.
Uh-huh.
I expect to see some more things.
Those are nice facilities. I go by
beautiful
them every
facilities.
Day.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, it's kind of a little hidden gem. And the trail system down there is wonderful.
Yep. Trail's right there.
Yep. The bike trails are right there, which I think they've done a great job of, you know, maintaining and keeping up. I think it's kind of a hidden gem that people don't really realize is available to you.
I need to get some signs that say bike race because I'd like some people to, you know, come off the bike trail and come over and watch.
But that'd be not a bad idea.
But it's a little tricky because the course, it connects to the bike trail on a little tiny sidewalk. And if you don't know what you're doing, you could literally get on the course, which some yahoo on a scooter did. He just went zip like directly across. So the course ends up being like 1, 2, 3, 4 lanes kind of parallel to each other at a certain point. And he just cut through all four of them just on his little zippity scooter, you know, those electric scooter things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I don't get the electric scooters. I like the electric bikes.
Why get on the bike trail for an electric scooter? You're just literally standing there. It's like you're holding a stick. Come on. You're not even exercising.
No, maybe people don't do it for exercising.
Then get off the trail.
But they're walking trails.
Right, but they're not supposed to be for motorized transport. So technically, anything you're not pedaling or using your feet for or your hands, if it's not human propelled, you're not supposed to be on there. No motorbikes, no non-pedal e-bikes, no scooters. Not supposed to be on there on your little lime scooter, brah.
Is that the law?
That is posted regulation.
Oh, yes. It is posted?
Yes, it is a posted regulation.
Well, I don't have a scooter, so I don't really know.
I hate those scooter things. people, you know, they get drunk and they have like $7 left on their debit card and then they run that out and then they just leave it in the middle of the golf course or wherever.
Oh, the renting ones is you're talking
the
about.
The rented ones. The little lime scooters. I flipping hate those things. I'm trying to ride my bike to work, and because it's actually safer and quicker, I use like these.
A scooter?
The sidewalks and bike paths that go through Elmwood Park, and then go through UNO campus over there by the is it FDR? First Data?
Yeah.
They still have a building there.
I think so.
Anyway. They're always just like, oh, I'm done with this thing, and they just leave it there on the corner. How is your business model just leaving your stuff out for everyone else to take care of? How is that a business model? Why are you not fined for littering every single day?
I can't answer that, Dave.
Dude, if we take our own property, you
probably because I've never taken the time to think about it.
Think about it, dude.
Because there if are I other take things my, I would okay, rather think
technically,
about.
Technically, everything in my trash can belongs to me. It's my property, right?
No.
Yes, it is.
Not once you put it out on the street.
I didn't put it on the street.
Okay.
Yet. My so trash can is still, and so that's my property. Why can't I just take that and set it out on the corner and expect somebody else to pick that up?
You do. It's called trash. Pick up.
No, I'm going to put it on the corner of 67th and Pacific Street.
That's called littering.
Okay, so it is with the lime scooters. They are litter. They are detritus. They are in the way.
In the way, I'll give you. So not technically
and for
litter.
For those reasons, I usually relocate them to the nearest bush.
Yeah, we might want to strip that from the thing because I think that's...
I didn't steal it. I didn't damage it. I just moved it out of the way. You're welcome.
You probably
America.
Need to communicate with the city.
I don't care. You know what? The city didn't ask me my opinion. Don't. What do they care about what I'm doing? Did I steal it, damage it, or anything? No, I moved it.
Okay.
Okay?
I got no qualms.
I'm just saying.
None whatsoever.
Those things suck, and they should be outlawed. Next.
All right. Moving on, ladies and gentlemen.
True's going to take all of that out True's and post.
Like, I got to scrub
this
that.
This is not making the internet.
Dave went on a tyrant. Okay. So I'll tell you what.
So here's our winners. Johnny won the expert. I think Denny got second.
Okay.
Denny's a huge stud. He actually, I think Denny won the sport race. Bikeway's own Jacob, what's his last name?
We don't see last names.
We don't? Okay. Anyway, mechanic here, Jake, he had a great race.
Jacob.
Fine, whatever, man. We don't say last names of what got me to be.
But I asked him, do you like Jake or Jacob? He goes, I prefer Jacob. I said, Jacob it is.
All right, Jake won, got second. Because you can't tell me what to do. It's ridiculous.
I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what is polite.
Whatever.
You know how you hate those scooters?
Yeah.
Because we talked about how you hate those scooters.
Yeah, I hate them.
Well, okay, because you consider it's rude, it's unprofessional, people are being inconsiderate of others.
It's in the way.
And yet, somebody asked to be referred to as Jacob instead of Jake, and you're like, well, I don't know, don't tell me what to call him.
I'm an American.
Can you say the word Jacob?
Jacob. He got second. He had a great race.
Okay. Do we have any women riders?
We had one in the sport, in the beginner race.
How'd she do?
She won her category. Okay. No, she did, you know. I mean, here's the deal. It takes some chutzpah to get out there, even if you're the only one in your category, just to get out there and race and put a number
chutzpah.
On.
Chutzpah. Is that chutzpah. Yiddish?
I think it is Yiddish, yeah.
Okay. All right. So this time of year, we have one of the biggest races in the world going on right now.
One of. Anyway. Name a bigger cycling race.
I can't.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. I can.
You can?
I can.
Ragbri? Don't say Ragbri.
The Nebraska Off-Road Series. I'm telling you. The NOS.
The NOS.
The NOS is going to be the NOS next Tour de France.
The shiz, right?
Yeah. So, Chris, if you're out there, Chris, I'm predicting this now.
Go buy some yellow jerseys, buddy.
You got to, you know. But
NOS. Le Tour, Le NOS.
So, we didn't have a pre-tour episode this year.
Oh, yeah. We missed out on that.
We kind of missed out on it. But we can talk about some of the updates. Remember last year we had Troy. If you didn't listen to last year, you're just kind of interested about learning about the tour. That's a really good episode if you want to learn a little bit about the tour. We're hoping to get Troy. There's another race in September, which is in Spain. You know what I'm talking about, Dave?
The Vuelta?
I think that is, yes.
The Vuelta's in August now. It used to be in April. They switched it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try to get Troy in to discuss that one.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I mean, it's been a great Tour de France. I mean, so many very interesting, almost crazy things have happened, you know.
And I'm really proud about the fact that the Irish are doing really well.
My boy, he did it today, Ben Healy. Spoiler
alert. He's a good
lad,
isn't he?
Spoiler alert, but anyway.
So, what have you been following on the tour so far?
Oh, I've just been watching it every day. I usually I either watch the entire stage live, if I can, like on the weekends. You know, that's 4, 5, 6 hours of coverage. So it's like the Super Bowl every single day.
For cyclists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Healy's been doing pretty well.
Ben Healy writes for Education First. He was in the breakaway that got caught and reformed and they broke away again. He and Quinn Simmons, Quinn Simmons is an American. He is the current U.S. Road professional cycling national champion. So he rides in the Stars and Stripes jersey. Quinn Simmons rides for Lidl Trek, which they probably have the best sprinter right now, Jonathan Milan. And anyway, Quinn Simmons was in the breakaway with Ben Healy today. And Quinn Simmons outsprinted his the guy that he was riding with behind Ben Healy about a minute and a half. Anyway, Quinn was second on the stage today. And I think, was his name Scherzer or Schachman was third from Tudor Pro. So
okay. When do we get to the pink polka dot?
We're already into the pink polka. From stage one, at the end of stage one, you've got the best young rider, which is the white jersey. You've got a polka dot, okay, because there'll be a climb. And even if it's only a category 4, That's the lowest of the categorized climbs. And those will all be assigned 1 point. Okay, so a category four is just 1 point to the first guy over the line. And so there was that climb on the first day. And so there was a polka dot. Then you've got the green jersey wear, which is the sprinter's competition. Mm-hmm. So every sprint, usually, unless it's a time trial, will have an intermediate sprint, sometimes two. But there'll be an intermediate sprint, which will also be for points. And that those points only go down to, I think, 6, 4, 3, 2, and 1 on the intermediates. And then the stages that end in field sprints, in other words, not on a climb, those are also awarded sprint points. So,
in your overall ranking and things like that, we only have one American right now.
The lowest accumulated time is, of course, the yellow jersey. So you've got your big ones are the yellow jersey, of course. That's for the overall leader. Then your sprinter's competition. That's the points. And then you've got your polka dot jersey.
So who are the guys to watch? Who are the teams and the racers to watch?
Well, obviously, Pogacar, who's like a two-time champion.
Mateo.
Jorgensen did pretty good today.
He's ranked sixth right now, overall ranking.
Yeah, but he had a decent time trial. For some reason, Visma, the time trial was yesterday. Remco Evenepoel won that. But his advantage over Pogacar wasn't as significant as some had predicted. Some had predicted that Evenepoel would take over a minute, and he ended up taking only, like, I think 28 seconds on Pogacar.
But he's Team Emirates, right?
Pogacar is UAE, Team Emirates, And Evenepoel is Lotto Soudal.
Okay.
The old Quick Step team.
So, what is, what, who are you predicting at this point in this
stage? You hate to say it five stages in, but if Pogacar doesn't win, it would be just a huge surprise. But there's no signs or indications that he is on anything less than stellar form. In fact, his time trial yesterday was actually better than most had predicted. And
where is he from?
He's from Slovenia. He's a former downhill ski jumper.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. The other guy that...
Because he's technically a second behind the leader.
So at the end of today, so Mateo Vanderpool was in a breakaway with Ben Healy, who won the stage. But the stage ended in some pretty serious climbs. And Vanderpool is more of a classics guy slash sprinter. He's not like a super really good sprinter. He's probably like an A-minus sprinter. He's not like a Jonathan Milan or anything like that.
And that's July 10th. As of the end of today, July 10th.
Is today July 10th?
Today is July
10th. Yeah, as of the end of today on July 10th. Right. So at the end of the stage, so Mathew Vanderpool was in the breakaway, but Ben Healy and the other guys kind of dropped him. But the peloton itself, with Pogacar and everybody else in it, they were like over 6 minutes behind with about 10K to go. They made up some of that time. And Vanderpool literally sprinted for the line today by himself and got himself back into the yellow jersey by 1 single second. Yeah. It's very crazy. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's take...
And this is his second yellow jersey of this tour. Vanderpool was in the yellow jersey like two stages ago.
Okay. So do you have to keep the yellow jersey, or do they have to take it off and give it to someone else?
No, that jersey is yours to keep forever, but you just don't get to wear it when you're not in it, right? So, in other words, you can take it home and put it in your man cave, you know? So, yeah, guys like... who've done that in the past, they have theirs. So you get to keep that, all the little swag and stuff they give you, you get to keep.
Okay.
Your green jersey, they'll give you a new one every single day. Santini.
Rank otherwise.
The Santini clothing company, they actually make these jerseys. They have like a really impressive printing situation there. And they can print out all these jerseys. And so these guys aren't they're not wearing bibs and shorts like bibs and jerseys like we are. They're wearing like a singlet.
Okay.
And so
they can always take those souvenirs and swag and sell it on eBay as well.
Yeah, but you don't really see that stuff on eBay. Those things, you keep those.
You don't really, but that doesn't mean you don't.
I don't know. I've not seen them. I haven't really looked. I used to look for that kind of stuff, but I don't anymore.
Okay.
I mean, you might be able to, but usually, you know, those guys, the thing is, they'll sign that crap and give it to their team. You okay. know what I mean? It's a very valuable thing.
Okay.
You know, a yellow jersey, any kind of stage jersey.
Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll finish off with a couple more things and
sounds cool.
We'll go from there. All right, so we're going to take a quick moment in capitalism, and then we'll be back in a flash. Riders, you ready? The Bikeway, Omaha's trusted cycling shop for over 25 years, keeping riders of all ages and all skill levels rolling strong. We carry the best brands, Giant, Santa Cruz, Bianchi, Scott, Sunday, and Kink BMX. And for 2025, we're adding Jamis Bicycles and Rad E-Bikes to the lineup. Whether you ride road, gravel, mountain, BMX, e-bikes, or something else, we got the gears, the parts, the accessories you need. And if you need service, our certified mechanic got you covered. Stop by, grab a coffee, talk bikes, and enjoy the tunes. We're more than a shop. We're a community. Don't forget the Beast, the Bikeway Beast, our mobile shop bringing service straight to you on the trails. Located in Omaha at 151st and Industrial Road, rider owned and operated, the Bikeway, Omaha's cycling tradition for over 25 years. All right, and we are back. Once again, we want to thank the Bikeway for helping support us on this. Just like anyone else, if you're interested in sponsoring the Spokespeople podcast, give us a holler. You can always...
Or just do what, you know, other people do. Just send us envelopes of cash.
That helps.
Right. The heavier, the better.
It's very motivating.
Yeah, it is motivating. Just put a rubber band around it. Don't count it. We'll count it. It's fine.
We'll count it for you. Don't even worry about it. We'll count it for you. Yeah, don't worry. We'll wash it. So
yeah.
So if there's other things on it, that's all right.
We'll leave the coins though, because I don't want to go to one of those Coinstar things. That's a drag.
my part time gig, a lot of nickels and quarters getting thrown at me.
Yeah.
So we're back at the tour.
Yeah, the end of stage six today. And the poles in yellow after being in the break all day.
So they got 21 stages.
Yep.
And is there anything different about the tour route?
Yeah, so at the end of the tour, the last, I can't remember, forever, 20, 30 years, they have finished on a circuit on the Champs-Élysées that will go under the Arc de Triomphe, over by the Louvre, and come back. And that's like a 5-kilometer circuit. And the Champs-Élysées is the old pavé, those big, you know, they're kind of irregular. You know, they're not the cobbles, which are kind of old Roman roads and stones right. and stuff. They're pave. They're made square, like, you know, but they're irregular and they're kind of, and it's really hard. And these guys go super fast on that. Anyway, they decided to change it up. They will finish on the Champs-Élysées, but they won't do that circuit. They're going to do the circuit that they used in the Olympics. And they're going to go up this hill through this neighborhood called Montmartre. And the street that they're going to go up is kind of a windy, turny street, and it's very narrow. In fact, it's narrower than this room is wide. And so it's going to be tough. Now, that was the circuit that I think Vanderpool used to win the... What was it? They used that in the World Championships? No, they used it in the Olympics. The last Olympics. That's where this climb got famous. So anyway, it's a little different this year. They're going to do three circuits of that Montmartre climb circuit. So that's a lot different, actually.
Okay. And they're basically looking at 132 kilometers. So we're looking at 82 miles.
Yeah, so the last stage used to be
21 stages.
The guys would kind of like ride slow on the outskirts of Paris. You know, the whole peloton stay together. The team that was in the yellow jersey would just make a line at the front, and there'd be the yellow jersey and his team, and somebody would literally hand them little flutes of champagne, and they, like, on the fly, on, you know, on the go, and they'd they would just go like go super slow, like 15 miles an hour, which is, you know, and then and drink champagne on the outskirts of Paris. And then when they get closer to Paris, they'd hit the circuit, and then the guys would ramp up the speed. And so that was a pure sprinter's stage, no climbs, not even really any rolling hills or anything. So this is going to be like a classics-style race with a very significant and steep hill. So the sprinters are not going to win that last stage the way they have always won that stage. It's really going to be for a Matthew Vanderpoel, a Van Aert, a Mads Pedersen, maybe even a Remco Evenepoel, who, you know, at the end of 21 stages might be able to hang on to Matthew Vanderpoel's wheel, which he finds hard to do during a real classics because that's a one day.
Right.
So anyway, it's going to be a different finish for the Tour de France this year. It should be pretty exciting.
Does it give any advantages to the hill climbers over the sprinters?
Absolutely. Like a guy like Ben Healy, who won today, there was a very hilly, very steep stage. You know, he could be in the mix there.
Okay.
You know? It's a real wild card. They've not done this pretty much ever.
I've noticed the last 2 years especially, they've kind of changed what some of the traditional races
have been. Yeah, so what they've been doing in a lot of the Grand Tours, they've been introducing stages with the pavé. A couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago, they introduced a stage that actually went on the same cobbles that they use for Paris-Roubaix. That was almost sacrilege. You know, some people are like, oh, that's not the Tour de France. We shouldn't have that kind of dangerous riding. They put that in there. They've had gravel segments, you know, where they're out there kind of. So American gravel versus European gravel, a lot different, you know.
How so?
You know, when you think of a gravel road here in Nebraska, you think of a white road with big chunky chunks of gravel, you know, inch and a half, 2 inches. That's not their gravel. Their gravel is more like the Wabash Trace, you know, that crushed limestone, little flakes and stuff. It's not really chunky. It might be like that kind of a deal that goes through a vineyard. It might be like a path that goes through a forest that's sort of dirt and bark and a little bit of that stuff. It's not like big, you know, crushed rock like we have out here.
Okay.
So, but also not really something that these guys are really riding on that much, you know?
Right, right.
So they've done that. A lot of these climbs, traditionally, they don't go to the top or the peak of the mountain because the roads don't go up there. And what the roads usually did was they would stop at whatever ski chalet was up there, ski thing, and they would stop there, and then they would go down. And there would usually be another, like, side road where, like, gravel, dirt, whatever, that would go up a little farther. Not to the peak, but a little farther. Well, they started using those extra little roads at the top and then sending them down. So they've been doing that for the last, you know, 8-10 years.
So it's a whole different way of going down then.
Well, it's just a little bit different climb, because if you climb on a steep gravel road, you know, you have to stay in the saddle. So you need lower gears and you need more torque in the saddle. It's a different way of riding. You know what I mean?
You sound like pretty much an expert on the going down part of the whole tour.
I'm really going to hurt you, Dave.
So at the end.
At the end of what?
At the end. At the end of stage 21.
Sure.
Who are your top three picks?
Well, you still have to like Pogacar to win.
Right.
The question is whether or not Vingegaard, who is, he didn't do that well in the time trial. He lost a minute to Pogacar and I think a minute 47 to Evenepoel.
Now, him and Matteo raced together.
Matteo.
Jorgensen, the American.
Jorgensen is on Lisa.
Yeah.
Visma Lisa Bike is the name of their team now. Yeah, so Vingegaard and Jorgensen are teammates, true. So what's happening right now is Vingegaard looks to be faltering somewhat just on the basis of the time trial. It's too early to tell. Today he looked fine. He was right with Pogacar, who was put in a hard effort on that last climb.
And we just got done with stage six, though.
Stage six just finished literally like hours ago.
And you're saying he's not looking in his prime.
Pogacar looks like he's going to win. Vingegaard might not make the podium. Evenepoel is looking good. And then who's the guy that's now in third? We have to come back to that.
Evenepoel?
No, not Evenepoel.
He's in third right now.
Well, then who's... Oh, so then the other guy must be in second. We'll have to figure this out. Hold on.
Pogacar's in second. By 1 second.
Oh, that's right. So you're right, because it's changed today. I'm sorry. I was thinking at the beginning of the stage. Vauclin from our B&B Arkea Hotels or whatever right. it is. He was in third at the beginning. So, yes, you're right. It is Vanderpool in yellow, Pogacar second, and Vanderpool in third. And Vauclin is like in fourth. But you asked me about the final podium, and you're trying to predict the final podium, and it's going to be Pogacar, Evenepoel, either Vingegaard or Vauclin, one of those two. But Vauclin's French, so, you know, the whole country's going to pull for him.
Sure.
You
know. What about Healy?
Healy just realized a career day, a dream day for him, which is to win a stage in the Tour de France. He's been trying to do it and almost doing it for probably 3 or 4 Tour de France. This is the best day of Ben Healy's cycling career. Where's he going to end up? I think he might not even top 10, because in order to be allowed to go out on these breakaways, you can't be that close to the lead. And so Healy had lost time in some stages before today, maybe strategically, maybe not. And he's not that good of a time trialist. He's a wee man. You know, he's kind of a skinny, short guy, but he can climb like a cat, you know? So where's he going to end up? If he ends up top 10, that'd be great for him. But he has done what he set out to do, which is to win a tour stage. He's one of 7 Irishmen ever to do it.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a short list.
And let's raise our glasses to the Irishman.
Let's raise a glass, hey, right?
A good pint for Ben.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
You give him a harp, boy. Give him a harp or a Guinness.
A good Guinness. That's mother's milk.
I like
so, Dave, how do you watch the tour? Do you look at the results and then watch the race, or do you watch the race live?
No, I watch it live. I get up. It usually starts at around 6:30 to 7, depending on the European start time. Time trials take longer, so they start earlier. But usually the stage will start at around 7 a.m. Central Time. And I will watch for like an hour or two, and then I'll go in. I drive a school bus, and so I take the kids to their little summer camp, and then I come back. Today, I actually brought my phone, and I said, hey, who wants to see the Tour de France? And like, kids who go to summer camp are very impressionable, and they're like, oh, I want to see it, you know? And so I'm showing them the Tour de France, and then this girl starts speaking in French to me. She goes, and I'm like, oh, these guys are 6 minutes behind. And she goes, c'est très bon. And I'm like, what? She goes, c'est très bon. I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, that is not good. That is not good. And I said, well, they'll get back. And then she goes, I said, you speak French? She goes, oui. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, you can pick whichever feed you want to watch. You know, if you want to watch it in French, you can. So I picked the French one. And she goes, I can't understand these guys. And I said, well, they're throwing in a lot of trade team names. I said, it's not going to sound like a real French word to you.
Right,
you,
right.
You know, you've never, you don't, what's an Alpecin de Koenig? Well, my wife knows it's a hair shampoo with caffeine in it. And if you're going bald, that's what you take. She goes, Alpecin de Koenig, that's a hair shampoo. I said, well, that, you know, the tour is a traveling commercial, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So we're going to find out on, maybe we'll come back and kind of recap this at the end.
Yeah. Next week we'll know a little bit more.
A little bit more. We'll just cover a little bit week by week and kind of
but
cover the
unless Pogacar implodes, it's his tour.
Right. Probably won't go as deep into it each week, but at least we gave everybody.
They'll probably let Mateo stay in the jersey until they hit the real mountains. You don't want to have the jersey the whole time, because then you got to defend and you got to burn your guys out on the front.
Right.
You know what? Let Alpecin do that. That's.
You know, I'm surprised, because when I look at the overall standings and everything like that, I don't see an Italian until 44.
Well, you know,
and I'm surprised. I'm really surprised, because the Italians.
What happened is this: Filippo Ganna, who has been world time trial champion in the past, like twice, world hour record holder on the track, Olympic 4 kilometer team time trial. Gold medal winner.
Pretty good.
He's pretty good on the time trial bike.
Okay.
Okay. Remco Evenepoel is the current world champion at time trial. Gano, I think, got second by like 2 seconds or something. It was crazy. So it would have been a great battle, but Gano crashed out stage one, hurt his hip, got a concussion, you know, and he's out stage one, you know. So,
okay.
Been some high profile abandons. Jasper Philipsen, Matteo Vanderpool's teammate on Alpecin-De-Koenig, he crashed out two days ago in an intermediate sprint. Somebody rubbed wheels and he went down. Two broken ribs, broken clavicle, had to get surgery. You know, he's going to be lucky to make the world champs this year, which is not a good year for him because they're holding the world champs in Rwanda, and it's going to be like the hilliest world championships ever.
Yeah.
Hillier than the one they did in Colombia in the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll follow up. We'll kind of come back and talk about these as we go. We'll touch a little bit on it each week and kind of get progress through the tour, and we'll find out who the final champion is.
Yeah, let's get Troy in here, see if he can add some stuff.
Yeah, if there's some time, we absolutely will.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, we could always give him a phone call, too, and put him on the air. You know what I mean? Because we can do that.
Well, I don't know how we're going to do the drinking contest we normally do.
True.
So, yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, he can just catch up in August.
I suppose.
That always works. So let's go to one last thing before we bounce out of here for the day. If you recall, we had Teresa Bender come in, and she was going to do the Iowa Wind and Rock.
Yes, and she did.
And she did, didn't she?
Yes, and she was the only female finisher this year, and she got under the time cut, which is 34 hours, for some 339 miles, and she made the time cut by 1 minute. I mean, I'm telling you what. Do you
33 hours and 59 minutes.
Oh my god!
It was a brutal weather too.
It was, and it's never easy because it's when you transect Iowa in that way, it's just all up and down.
Yeah.
If you ever look at a geologic map of Iowa,
oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah. No, I just looked at the other day, and it's so there are 6 distinct geological zones in the state of Iowa, and I don't even know them all. I mean, it's like, wow. So if you think about that kind of geology, that's kind of overlapping, cross-secting geology.
Yeah.
You
got a point.
It's going to be tough, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do with my free time is I look at geological maps and surveys.
I just ended up seeing it because I was looking up something about fishing. So
I actually did see something just recently, and I thought of you immediately.
Oh, which is what?
I saw this little thing that popped up on a reel on Facebook, and it was all about the Sand Hill Formation in Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, man, FDR would geek out on this.
That's one of the, I mean, I'm not a real geology guy, but I mean, I'm interested in it.
Cool. But I don't want to put our listeners to sleep with geological talks.
No, man, we're from Nebraska. We got to do the sand hills. We got to talk about
hills. Not Tatooine.
We're going to pick it up. We'll pick it up next time.
Did you catch that?
It's not what?
It's not Tatooine.
It's not Tatooine.
There's our Star Wars reference for the episode.
Where did they film the Tatooine stuff? Was that Tunisia?
Tunisia.
It was, see?
Yeah,
there you
Tunisia.
Go.
Both times.
Well, yeah, you
have to go back.
You can't go get different sand.
No.
You got to use the same sand.
Well, now everything's CGI. I mean, you could be standing in a studio and make it look like you're standing on the moon.
The original Star Wars, the first three, is ass-kicking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was absolutely life-changing.
Right.
So.
I don't know how they did the pew-pew laser things, but pew-pew, you know. Right? There you go.
We had to get it in. All right, people. We are going to get out of here today. This is episode 27, Spokespeople Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Follow up with us next time. We'll have more cool topics to talk about. Until then, keep riding, be safe, and know that you are appreciated.
Peace.